See, Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Welcome back. Yeah. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, November 18th, 2021. Okay, to sum it up so we can move on. Again, this, you know, quoting of Hosea 6, my people perish for lack of knowledge, I think is a sort of, usually it's quoted in a myopic sense. And what it leaves out, again, in most of the citations that I've heard is, as the NLT translation puts it, the New Living Translation, my people are being destroyed because they don't know me. So what does that mean? Just some verses real quick. In the NASB, Proverbs, just examples, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Reminds me of Proverbs 12:1. Proverbs 1:29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, did not choose. Proverbs 2:5, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Oh, so it's not just any kind of knowledge. Because the Gnostics are all about knowledge. So, Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way are, and the perverted mouth I hate, God says. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So this is a specific kind of knowledge. Fear of the Lord prolongs life. Proverbs 10:27, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Not sure what's going on with folks like Henry Kissinger, but whatever. I'm being a little facetious. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children have refuge. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. Proverbs 15:16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. So in contradiction to what we hear, you know, we have to have this inflationary scheme operating because it's the only way to perpetual progress. Well, I think we need to define terms. You know, we got to have, we got to have Bretton Woods and the Marshall Plan so that we can have perpetual progress. I think we need to define terms. And even if we define terms differently, I'm okay with that. Let's just not conflate terms and pretend that we're using the same definition. That's all. Anyway, so in contradiction to what I said earlier, you know, from the Hidden Persuaders, that the Moppets have been turned into good little prosumers who have to have more and get more and have more and more and more. Proverbs 15:16 says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. So the point is, in all of this, this is foundational stuff. This is, as Noah Webster put it, a clear and certain perception of that which exists. If you believe that who authored the Bible is also the creator of heaven and earth, you know, that the earth is the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, that the cattle on 1,000 hills are his, then this is foundational stuff. This is a clear and certain perception of that which exists. There's this other character that's trying to remake the world. including the metaverse, which is an interesting dichotomy, I would say. You know, you have on the one hand the universe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And on the other hand, you have the meta, or in Hebrew, the dead verse, which is a creepy, weird thing, bizarre concept. On the one hand, you have a clear and certain perception of that which exists. On the other hand, you have this continual process of chaos making to alchemically transform the world. You can never know anything. You can never be certain of anything. Well, I mean, maybe you can, but you know, it's everything is need to know. So unless you're, if you're the profane and you're not the initiated, well, then you can't know. And ultimately, the knowing results in only just, it's this character. You know, that's why they, you know, folks like Albert Pike write about this character as the unknown God. You can't know until you get to the ultimate degree. You know, then they'll bring this character out into full view, because if they let the cat out of the bag too soon, people will run away for obvious reasons. Proverbs 16:6, by loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. That sounds nice. That sounds wonderful. So that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. Proverbs 22:4, the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. That sounds great. Proverbs 23:17, do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. You know, here's one example. You know, do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. So, you know, like I said, Yellowstone, not picking on anybody who watches. I would call it depraved. That is how I would categorize the television series Yellowstone. And by the way, it's not an accurate depiction of Montana or the heart of America or anything like that. People are still hardworking, you know, honest as the day is long, salt of the earth folks in the flyover states, shall we say. You know, we play that intro in the first hour. Paul reminds us in Romans 12, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Is that what's depicted in Yellowstone? I don't think so. I think it's just a Machiavellian escalation of the will to power. Who can out Machiavelli who? In contrast, Proverbs 23:17, do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. And, you know, there are other examples, but, you know, hopefully this illustrates the point. This, you know, and then the last thing I'll say about this is, you know, speaking of the antidote to that which ails us, this is the knowledge that is spoken of in Hosea 4:6 specifically. And, you know, there's, I suppose, you know, wisdom and knowledge, but this specific knowledge of God. And so James says, you know, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, yeah, schizophrenic. So in comparison, there's this character that wants to create chaos and havoc and have us believe that there's nothing that can be known for sure, you know, moral relativism, etc., etc. There are no clear and certain perceptions of that which exists, is what this character would have you believe. And then accordingly, we have to trust the experts instead of, you know, what I just outlined. And so if you know, the trouble is people, we have such a short attention span. Basically what happens is, and you see it in politics, for example, foreign countries throughout the 20th century who said no thank you to the cartels were bombed into the Stone Age. And basically the way that discussion goes is they say, bad guys, the Machiavellian contingent say, you can join our cartel and we'll take your natural resources in exchange, basically, or, you know, we will hold them as a surety for your participation in the credit monopoly. And those that say, no thanks to those kinds of cartels, get the, well, we weren't really asking sort of pressure. And if you don't join, then we will cause these problems and your people will think that you're the reason for it. If we all got together and we just, you know, ruminated on these things that I mentioned, particularly in Romans or Proverbs, you know, the fear of the Lord, then all of that chaos making would sort of evaporate. I've said for a long time that in my humble estimation, the devil has really just one weapon, and I think we're seeing that particularly in America and throughout the world these days. It is the power of suggestion. Richie said it best last year, they shut the world down with words. It continues on, and as Matthias de Smet points out, the more absurd the ritual. You know, if you said, maybe we should throw a virgin into a volcano these days, people would think it was absurd. But that's essentially what the mask mandates and the social distancing and everything is. What does throwing a virgin into a volcano have to do with making society better? Nothing. That's the point. The more absurd it is, the more your confirmation bias is induced. And effort justification and so on to convince you that you're doing a good thing. So people will do more of it. That's how that works psychologically. The power of suggestion is at the heart of all of it, which is why persuasion, et cetera, is so important to a certain group of folks. And in contrast, if we lean on this other, you know, a clear and certain perception of that which exists or of truth and fact, the fear of the Lord, and you don't let yourself get swept up in the frenzy of chaos, then Romans 8:28 comes into play somewhere. You know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so then he shows up in the chaos is dispelled and there is a peace and stability and civility, and, you know, the dehumanization is dispelled and so on. So, you know, versus that trend of chaos and terror. That's a long version of the explainer, but, you know, what other antidote is there? You can't act out Machiavelli, so to speak. Or as Jesus put it, can Satan cast out Satan? Anyway, to the phones, Glenn and Philly, thanks for calling. Welcome. Oh, we lost Glenn. Hopefully that makes sense. Because like I said, what other antidote is there to what ails us? So, what does ail us? Speaking of that, let's get to a couple of those things. Actually, let's do this since we got these things. You know, back to what I was saying, you know, just this. I mentioned Vance Packard's The Hidden Persuaders because basically every generation alive now, for, you know, all practical purposes, has grown up in the mass media era. I mean, is there a generation that hasn't at this point? And each generation, it gets more pervasive, you know, from radio to movies. You know, you had theater, you had the Gutenberg era, and then radio and movies, and then television, and then the internet. And, you know, when it comes to the immersive stuff, I always think of the documentary Suitology. And again, you know, this just trend toward ponerology and the Lucifer effect and so forth. Suitology, The Art of Lying. It was released back in 2012. And I think we played the entire documentary at one point. The Art of Lying. It's just called, you know, it's public, it's public relations, that's all. It's influence. Just persuasion. So, a couple of things, you know, and so because we're listening to all of this and not removing ourselves, or at least if we're going to look at it critically, as Alan Watts said, but not too much. So the Suitology documentary got into how essentially, you know, Hollywood is working with advanced neuroscience to try to make their content more immersive, to bypass your frontal lobe and to drive the message directly into your limbic system. Anyway, people don't realize. I mean, when we see Patti LaBelle doing Dexcom G6 commercials, oh my goodness, that's evidence of where we're at. So, can we play that real quick, please?
I'm 77 years young, still going strong. Diabetes is not going to slow me down, thanks to my Dexcom G6.
This little wearable sends my glucose numbers right to my phone or receiver. And the arrow tells me which way I'm heading and how fast. So it's easier for me to keep my glucose in range. And the more time I spend in range, the more I can do. If you're on Medicare, learn more at Dexcom.com.
My goodness. So now, you know, wearables that are, I mean, this is exactly what Kurzweil wrote about, right? Contacts that are, you know, visual implants, they can be temporary or permanent. You can have a permanent implant, maybe temporary, but you can have a permanent one. Contacts and cochlear implants. So that reminds me of what Scott Klosowski said. Can we play that real quick too, please?
And the whole time I'm talking, there will be people that are on their devices. Now, they could be taking notes. Yeah, they could be tweeting, best speaker I've ever heard. Right? Who knows? But it's amazing how addicted we've become to these things already. Now, what we have to understand is this is just a first step. It's a first step. We're going to move from mobile to wearables to implantables. And I know it's a hard thought for some people to think about it. We're going to be implanting technology so that we can connect better to technology, but we will. But let's just talk about mobile for a second.
Unbelievable.
Today, these...
We're going to move from mobile to wearables to implantables and icons. Well, we'll be right back.
Cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash or a money order with the pay-to line left blank. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Nothing made out to RBN will work, so don't do that. The new accounts are going to be opened soon, and if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. To summarize quickly, and then to the phones, maybe I'll come back to the summary. I guess, you know, to summarize, as a friend said, know who your God is. And then he said, should I say know who God is? And I said, no, I think the way that you're saying that to folks is the right way to say it. And not to pick on Patti LaBelle, but I don't care, you know, how much she's reading the Bible based on how she's walking. If she reads the Bible every day and the way that she's walking that out, XCOM G6, where is her faith? In what or whom does she place her faith? So just to use this example, her God is not the God of the Bible in practical terms. And so how many of us are putting our faith and trust in something other than, you know, this other stuff that I was mentioning? And where does that lead? So I think my friend was right, you know who your God is. That's a profound and provocative statement. And so, you know, if you're trusting in this, like Dexcom G6, where does that end? And the answer is it doesn't. It ends with, you know, what Jesus said in John 10:10. To the phones, Kathleen in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, Chris. I really have always liked your show, and I try not to miss it. I may have called in about this before, so if I have, I apologize. But Dr. Lorraine Day, whom I'm sure you're aware of, has a website, drday.com, dr for doctor, drday.com. And she wrote a book in 2012, and Deanna Spangola, who used to be on the network, she interviewed her several times, and she about her book that she had written, Who Rewrote the Bible? And I just cannot tell you how it's just such a fabulous scholarly book. It's just wonderful. And the whole translation part, words that don't actually exist in the Hebrew or the Greek translations, and that they were later added, and manipulating people. And the one thing, the quote that you made, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, well, the actual word used was reverence. The beginning of wisdom is the reverence for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And she said the main thing is that trying to create a hateful God, a fearful God, you know, and that the words that are used, so manipulating. And the other thing is that God doesn't ask us to be different than he is. And so if you look at Jesus' life, did he hate anyone? Did he take revenge? Did he? No, none of those things. And mm-hmm. so, but the book is so good, the Who Rewrote Bible. And mm-hmm. You see the words and the whole thing about the hateful God. She said that when she was a child and was Christian, you know, but mm-hmm. when they would talk about the gospel being good news, and she'd say, what's good news about that? Only a few people are going to heaven. Everyone's going to burn forever in hell. She mm-hmm. said the word hell doesn't even appear in the Bible anywhere. So now she's put the good news back in the gospel. And but I think that's really a relevant point, that God isn't going to ask us to forgive your enemies, to do well for everyone, and be different. That God's not different at all. He doesn't ask us to do what he doesn't do. And so, anyway, it's just such a great book. And then another one she wrote, but this is not so, this is recent. It's called Who, The Deliberate Destruction of America, and the World, Who's Behind It and Why? And it's pretty much a horror story of the whole demonic thing that's happening and has happened. But I think the whole thing about the scriptures is so important. What God, like you said, what God are you worshiping? And also
know who
about
your God
the,
is, as my friend put it.
Yeah, know who your God is. Well, yeah, the God of doctors, the God of whatever. The whole dangers of, I just had them. I have to pay $30 more a month, so I don't have a smart meter. I have a corded speakerphone, no internet, no TV, so I don't even hear. And I'm so happy I don't, all of this garbage. But anyway, well, you're always in my prayers, and Julie rules.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you, Kathleen. Much appreciated. Okay. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns, their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down, the fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Yeah. Welcome back.
So I have not read Lorraine Day's book, Who Rewrote the Bible, but just to sort of comment to that quickly, how do I say this? You know, what is, do we have to read her book or somebody's book to avoid the pitfalls, maybe the traps that have been set by nefarious folks or whatever. And you know, what about this, you know, the God of the Bible is an angry God. I think that that misperception is promulgated and proliferated as much by the interests or the organizations that I mentioned earlier as by any other. You know, I have mentioned from time to time that, you know, I've heard pastors preach on Genesis 6, you know, that God was angry with man. And that's not what the text says, you know. Then the Lord saw, verse 5, for example, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and so he was angry at man. No. And that every thought of his heart was only evil continually. And what happens in verse 6? The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. And so as a that's the NASB, as a parent, I think we can all relate. Most parents, if not all parents, can relate to, you know, as being deeply grieved as a parent. You know, when you have witnessed the undoing of your child, that's a heartbreaking scenario. Deep, you know, being deeply grieved versus angry. I don't get the God was angry at man message. So anyway, back to the whole, you know, who is this God? And my journey, I would say, you know, I mean, just to for starters, 1 John 4:7-12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And, you know, you throw in 1 Corinthians 13 and other parallel sort of passages, perhaps. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's an interesting word. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. So, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And then, you know, you go on and verse 18, for example, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. This reminds me, by the way, of, you know, Paul at the Areopagus in Acts 17 that I have mentioned this week. Just the boldness, you know, and Paul wrote, you know, the Bible records Paul saying repeatedly, pray for me that I may have boldness in my speech. Well, that moment at the Areopagus in particular, I would say is very bold. I would probably have the fear of punishment. You know, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. I might get struck by lightning if I said that, you know, what he said. Might as well be grabbing Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma and saying, you know, you guys read this book and you read about the unknown God. Let me declare, you know, what you worship in ignorance, I will proclaim to you in truth. Very interesting. And this commandment we have from him, capital H, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Verse 21. And then 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. And, you know, again, that's a whole different conversation. Love, you know, it's not, you know, this system that we live under is compulsory. The world system, you know, it's voluntary compliance, but love is not compulsory and not, you know, compelled to voluntary compliance, not manipulated. So what's the point of all of this? Well, I mean, for me, and I can only speak for myself, I suppose, I began investigating these things for myself and came to the conclusion on my own. You know, there's a period where I felt like I should, not be reading anything other than the Bible and Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, for a while. And so, you know, just basically stripping away all this other outside, all this external influence. And what was the result of that? So a lot of things, but in this context, I just started to sort of ruminate on the question, can you sum up the Bible in you know, one verse, one phrase, one concept? And I found a number of passages that support this supposition, but in simple terms, I would say it came down to me. Yeah, you can boil a Bible down to one concept, which is do love, do perfect love. And then if you boil it down to a word, it's love. So somehow I arrived at that conclusion, you know, without reading other books. And I would say the journey began with the secret decoder ring in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, the secret decoder ring, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the ages to our glory. What's he talking about? We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. There you go. There's the secret decoder ring. And so I think, you know, it's important that you know, at some point we all, you know, if you follow this line of thinking, if you read the Bible, believe the author of it and creator of heaven and earth, that, you know, at some point you sort of settle in and resonate on Isaiah 40, verses 7 and 8, you know, the grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord, our God, stands forever. And the point is, regardless of translation, you get the secret decoder ring, he'll work it all out. If he's powerful enough to create the universe, he's probably powerful enough to get whatever message to each one of us he wants to get. So, but it's incumbent upon us to ask, seek, and knock, as Jesus said. Anyway, not supposed to be a, you know, whatever, just kind of solution minded. I think if we do more of this kind of thing, then it has a stabilizing effect, which there are certain forces that want to erode, eviscerate, and destroy the stabilizing, the clear and certain perception of that which exists. You know, John in Tennessee calls in once in a while and we joke about the moral relativism, you know, the absurdity and the oxymoronic nature of it. There is no absolute truth. Are you absolutely sure? And in contrast to that, as Noah Webster said, you know, knowledge, a clear and certain perception of that which exists. So, back to the phones. Pat in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi. I heard somebody say that last week, and it must have been that lady talking about that book, because I had to get over that teaching myself that fear of God is just respect of God. I looked it up, and it means terror. Fear means terror. And if you read my husband's favorite scriptures, Deuteronomy 28 and 29, you will have a terror of God. And he said, I change not. So the Old Testament is still valid. But I know what you're talking about, a love of...
Well, I mean, it's... Again, to me, it's, you know, it's between our spirit and the spirit of the Lord. And, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 really kind of spells that out. That concept is in there if we go investigating. For example, if you do a Strong's search, you do your own background research, reverence, respect, piety.
I know what I did.
Those concepts are in, you know, yeah. They're in there. So if we go looking, we will find what we're supposed to find. And what is it we're supposed to find? Well, that's not up to me to say. That's, you know, for God, his spirit and our spirit.
Well, it does say that if you seek, you'll find. You have to seek. You can't just
right. Exactly.
Want God to chase you down and teach you.
Yep.
But, you know, if you don't know why everything's going wrong, we probably need to look at Deuteronomy 28 and 29. I heard Dr. Kelly read that one. she can really read the Bible. And it's true. I mean, you know, you can't deny it. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
And Laura from Iowa, she calls us, God will curse you down to the fourth generation, even to the tenth. That's true. But he takes us back when we repent. But how are you going to repent if you didn't think you did anything? Because you didn't look at it.
That's an important concept.
Huh?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Important concept.
Okay. I wanted to say that because everybody loves that reverence because they don't know what it means, or respect or whatever. That's God. I mean, you know. A lot of people say, you're disrespecting me because you're telling me the truth about things. I don't think that's disrespectful. We used to call that tough love.
Yeah, again,
tough love.
A return to a clear and certain perception of that which exists would be a good thing. Yeah, I appreciate it. We're going to go back to the phones in the interest of time. Thank you, Pat. Much appreciated, as always. Back to the phones. John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
I appreciate it again. Here's the thing, Chris. If God was able to inspire men to write the book, before the book existed, there was knowledge of God. If he's able to inspire people to write his word or to give his word to us in a form that really wasn't a book, is he not able, with the help of the Holy Word, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, to give you knowledge without you even picking that book up. If your heart and mind has stayed on him and you love him and you want to know the truth, can he not present himself to you? The God
people ask,
spoke,
you know,
the universe,
what about,
spoke
yeah,
everything
ask,
into existence.
Yeah, people ask, what about those people that don't have a Bible? Well, that's why I read Romans chapter 1. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so they are without excuse. There it is.
So if he's able to do that, then it really, and you know my favorite translation is the King James, but if I want to know the truth, his word also says, let God be true and every man a liar. That means even my earthly father, if it goes against what the Holy Spirit is revealing to me, and I'm going to lovingly tell my father I disagree with them. I'm going with God. And my father would understand that. This is what we need to get through our heads. Books are great, but if you're not careful, you're going to go find a book that may support your preconceived idea, and you're going to go with the book, and you're going to miss the truth that God has to give to you. You're going to miss it, because it's always nice to have something that makes you feel good, which is why people tend to go for certain translations, I suppose.
Well, and not to disparage what Kathleen was saying, because I think, you know, she's offering that in good faith, but, you know, to sort of bridge the gap, and to your point, you know, that's kind of what I'm saying. We don't need the same revelation. If that's entirely legitimate, that's something, you know, let's just say, for example, apples to apples, the book, and again, I can't speak to it because I haven't read it, but, you know, if the book Who Rewrote the Bible is entirely, it's just entirely on point. There's nothing in it that is, I would call, you know, erroneous or whatever. That was a revelation that was given by God, and can't he do the same thing for any one of us? So, I'm not trying to do
the same thing. I read books.
Yeah.
And I read books on biblical topics. I do that. I'm very careful when I do it, because I want the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, I want the understanding that God has for me. And it's nice to find something that supports your point of view, but my understanding of God's word tends to change as he reveals more. There's things that I believed, and that's not why I called. Let me get to the purpose of my call. Is that, you know, if Genesis 6 grieved God's heart to the point where he had to destroy his creation, you made a perfect analogy when you talk about a father or a parent being brokenhearted by their children. I can't begin to really understand the love that God had for us and has for us. Genesis 6 grieved him to the point where he's going to destroy everything he created. So what happened, what possibly could have happened prior to Genesis 1:1, where in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, what might have happened prior to that? It caused God to form Adam and breathe the breath of life in him, and he became a living soul, where God was entering the system via Jesus Christ to redeem his creation. What had happened before that? To a lot of people in the church, I'm a heretic because I believe something could have happened before that. When was the beginning? I don't know. It says in the beginning God created. Then it talks about the creation in Genesis. Is there something that happened prior to? I believe possibly. Can I prove it through books or scripture? No. Is it meant for me to know? I don't know. That may be knowledge that I'm not supposed to have complete and utter understanding until I become like him and I'm in the heavenlies with him as a king and a priest. You know, when I get my glorified body, I'll have my new mind, I probably won't even have to ask a question. That's the awesome thing about this. He wants us. We were created in his image, and he wants us to be like him. But you have people, they'll go so far, and well, that's far enough. They don't want to take it any farther because they don't want to be an oddball. And when you're in love with someone, you tell the world you're in love with them, whether it's your wife or your God. And I agree with what you said. Know who your God is.
Mm-hmm.
We're told in churches, anything that goes before God, your car, your baseball game, that's your God, that's your idol. No, folks, yeah, it could be. But there are many small g gods. And that's the problem. We've all got our small g gods, and you got to throw them away and come to the true and living God, the God that created it all, because he's a jealous God.
Yeah.
And that'll make me a heretic in a lot of churches.
Mm-hmm. Where is the allowance? This modern society gives us the perception that the concept of God and the Bible is dusty and outmoded, and it's completely
false. All right, thank you, Chris. I've got to go.
Thank you, John. Much appreciated. Last thing I'll say, this is not to foment controversy. I mean, I appreciate John calling in. I appreciate Kathleen calling in, too. And I think we're all sort of on the same page about this. And I would just – the only thing I would add is it's a Romans 14 issue. It's just what keeps coming to my mind. The faith which you have is your own conviction. Before God, happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Do not cause your brother to stumble or that kind of thing. So anyway, ultimately, it sort of reminds me of a few passages. Speaking of 1 Corinthians 1:10 in particular, the dream team, but Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And, beyond that, it's if you follow this line of thinking, you believe the Bible, the author of it, then you understand Ephesians 6:12 is true. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that causes a different perception and makes a person, I believe, conduct themselves differently. A clear and certain perception of that which exists, as Noah Webster put it. And last but not least, again, if you follow that line of thought, then 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 is always in order. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Can you imagine? That'll do it for today's broadcast. I didn't mean it to turn into a sermon per se, but what do we do about that which ails us? These are my thoughts. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You can! can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because